take your Bibles and turn to the epistle of 1 John as we continue our study in John's writings. First John, chapter 2, beginning at verse 7, towards the end of your New Testament, just a few books before Revelation, you can find 1 John. 1 John, chapter 2, beginning in verse 7 through verse 11. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true and in him and in you, because the darkness is past and true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not where he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Out of an article written a few years ago, we had these words: when U.S. airspace was closed after the September 11, 2001 attacks, planes had to land at the closest airport available. Nearly 40 planes landed in Gander, Newfoundland. Suddenly, the small Canadian community almost doubled in size when thousands of frightened passengers arrived. People opened their homes, and officials converted high schools, lodges, churches, and meeting halls into places to stay. Stranded passengers were overwhelmed with neighborly generosity and kindness. I don't know if you remember all that went on right after 9/11, way back when it seemed like the nation was turning to God. But you know what? It didn't last long. Soon it was the SOS. You know what SOS is? Same old stuff. We just became what we always were. We went back to our old self-loving ways. It's like this. You've probably heard this story. There were two hikers walking through the woods, and suddenly they confronted a giant bear. And one of the men took off his boots, pulled out a pair of track shoes, and began putting them on. His companion said, "What are you doing? We can't outrun that bear, even with jogging shoes." The first one said this: "Who cares about the bear? All I have to worry about is outrunning you." Okay? That is self-love, right? Self-love. So why are we so entrenched in self-love as a nation? Listen to these statements from a couple of self-help, self-esteem, self-love websites. First of all, you must love yourself before you love another. By accepting yourselves and fully being what you are, your simple presence can make others happy. I know a lot of people who love themselves that don't make me happy, but that's another story. This is from a personal development website called Self-Love. What is self-love? It is love which is directed toward the various aspects of ourselves, our thoughts, emotions, feelings, actions, physical body, images, etc. This is not the emotion of love. It is the unconditional love which is defined in the chapter regarding love. Another thought. Self-love is the benefits of self-love. Self-love increases our ability to love other people. Self-love increases the amount of love which we receive. Self-love feels good. Self-love allows us to understand ourselves and know ourselves. We are not repressing anything from our own awareness. Under techniques for developing self-love, we have these. Self-talk, I love myself. I feel good when I love myself. Loving myself helps me love other people. Directed imagination, we can visualize ourselves being kind to ourselves. Energy toning, we can generate energy tones of contentment, satisfaction, happiness, etc., while we view the various aspects of ourselves. The as-if principle, we can act as if we love ourselves. You know, if you really boil it down, self-love, self-esteem are really forms of idolatry. Is not self-love, as defined in what we just looked at, a worship of self? I think it's really significant that the last verse in 1 John says this. Remember when John uses the word in 5:21, little children, and he uses it several times throughout his epistle, he is talking about born-again believers. He says, little children, keep yourself or guard yourselves from idols. What's the biggest idol in your life, in my life? Myself. Yourself, right? We do worship ourselves. But what is the antidote to self-love or self-worship? You know how you cure self-love? Two thoughts. You love God. What's the other thing? You love your neighbor as yourself. Now, John is going to deal with the second one in our passage. Now, the neighbor that he is talking about in our passage deals with other believers. And it is a very important concept in John's writings here about our love for other Christians. And so the thought we want to look at today is this. In 1 John 2, 1 through 7 through 11, love other believers. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. And we have another love letter from you. And sometimes we struggle with this, where we think of ourselves more than we ought. And we love ourselves. And we forget about others, especially sometimes other believers. And I pray, Lord, you help us with our attitudes. I've noticed over the years that I've been saved that the cruelest people to other believers are other believers. And Father, we need that not to happen as often as it does. And it can be cured if we just truly love them in a biblical way, as John tells us in our passage. Help us, Lord, indeed, to love one another. And the world may see that we are believers because we love one another. In your son's name, amen. So, let's look at a couple of principles here. The first principle is this. Love is timeless. John talks about that beginning in verse 7. First of all, love is old. Notice verse 7. I have it translated this way. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you were having from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Now, in that verse, John does not state what the commandment is, nor does he talk about it in the next verse. But both verses 7 and 8 refer to something that is a commandment. And that commandment is to love. 2 John 5 has these words, "And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which you have heard from the beginning, that," what's that commandment? "That we love one another." That's what John's talking about in verses 7 and 8. That believers ought to be loving other believers. It doesn't matter if they, you know, if they're not as, if they're dumber or smarter or black or white or yellow or green or purple or whatever. Is we love them because they are other believers. In Leviticus 19:18, we have these words. "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And what's the basis of that love? God says at the end of that verse, "I am the Lord." Why should we love other believers? Because God tells us so. What was Jesus' summary of the law? In Matthew 22, 36 through 40, he's approached. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when he says love your neighbor as yourself, when he says as yourself, he does not mean love yourself. That's not a command in Scripture. He's saying, because that's naturally what we do, he's saying love your neighbor as we normally would love ourselves. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you want a summary of the commandments, Jesus says, you summarize it in two commandments. Love God with your entire being and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And those are the commandments. And so that when John says in verse 7, this is not a new commandment but an old commandment, it is. You can find it in the Old Testament. And Jesus told it, and the disciples heard that. But then he says in verse 8, love for a believer, love is new. Love is new. Verse 8, yet a new commandment I am writing to you, I have translated, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the genuine light is already shining. John in verse 8 uses the word new. Now, it's not referring to new in the sense of time, but new in the sense that it is fresh in quality. You see, when Jesus taught the disciples to love one another, it was something that was refreshing. We move away from the strict rules of conduct, so to speak, and we really genuinely look after and look for the best for other believers. And so it's fresh in quality, fresh in kind or form, something that replaces something else that has been worn out. And what John is saying is that the old commandment has given birth to the new. Jesus has given more on the commandment of love. The old doesn't cease to exist, but continues along with the new. In John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And so, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. One writer said this, the commandment of love was new because Jesus personified love in a fresh, new way, and it was shed abroad in believers' hearts. You look at the love of Jesus as he walked upon this earth. No matter who a person was, he ministered to him and reached out to him. No matter if he was the outcast, or no matter if he was the great and mighty and powerful, Jesus loved him. And he proved his love where? On the cross. And he died in love for you and me. And then when we come to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts, and we have a new love that is energized by that Spirit. John says, this command to love is true in Jesus and in you. In Jesus, in his life and death, that's the demonstration of what true biblical love is. What did Jesus say? Greater love hath no man than what? Give his life for his friends. That's the kind of love he's talking about. True biblical love. When we talk about true biblical love, we're not talking just about an emotion. You know, when that song says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, it's talking about an emotion. But when we talk about what this world needs now is genuine love, we're talking about a love that is sacrificial and it seeks the best for its object. He says, this commandment to love is true in you. He's talking about believers. It is a demonstration that one is born again. And so John says, here's the proof that you're born again. If you love God's children. If you love God's children. Let's face it, people are hard to love, are they not? Okay? Some people are really hard to love. Some believers are hard to love, and some believers are really hard to love. But within us, when we deal with other believers, there should be a natural love that springs from the Holy Spirit. The proof, because, and he says also, another proof that you're born again, is that the darkness is passing away and the genuine light is already shining. When he talks about the darkness, he is talking about the realm of the devil. He is talking about the realm of the flesh, which means our old nature. There's an inclination within us that wants to do wrong and rebel against God. He is talking about the realm of the world because the world is in darkness. Darkness is all that is without God and all that is against God. That's darkness. And it's passing away. You see, before we were born again, we were under the control of the devil. We followed the inclinations of our flesh all the time. And we lived and we accepted the realm of the world. And when we become born again, we're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of His Son. And we are in a process of dealing with our old nature. And we are in a process of separating from the ways of the world. That's proof that we are born again. He says the genuine light is now shining. The word genuine means the real thing. By the way, the real thing is not Coke or Pepsi. Okay? It's Jesus. That's what John is talking about. The genuine light is now shining. Jesus is now shining. John 1:9, the Apostle John wrote, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into this world." John 8:12. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John is saying that all other claims to light are merely reflections which lead to disappointment and despair. Only Jesus is the genuine light, and only He can satisfy your soul. And that darkness, according to him, for a believer, is being replaced by the light. You know what he's saying? He's talking about the process of sanctification, where a believer over time, because of his obedience or her obedience to God's word, becomes more like Christ. The darkness is passing away, and the true light is now shining. As we get older in Christ, we who are believers should be becoming more like Him. Another principle. Love and hate are totally incompatible. Now notice John's statements here. First of all, the hater is in darkness. Verse 9. The one saying that he is in the light and is hating his brother is in that darkness until now. Notice verse 11. But the one hating his brother is in the darkness, and he is walking in that darkness and does not know where he is departing, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. What is this word hate? It speaks of a malicious and unjustifiable feelings towards others. It means to detest, to abhor, to persecute. This hate can also be considered the absence of love. It means the settled antagonism against someone. It also has a thought that's without emotion, which deals with an indifference towards the plight of another person. That's hate. When you don't care about other believers, You actually are hating them. Notice the condition of the hater according to this verse. He is in the darkness. That means he is surrounded by the darkness. He is walking in the darkness. That means having a lifestyle characterized by darkness. The hater is blinded. That means deceived by the world, by self, and by the devil. John the Apostle says, the person who hates is characterized by the darkness. Then he says in verse 10, the one who loves, the lover, is in the light. Verse 10. The one who was loving his brother is remaining in the light, and in him is no stumbling block. John says the one who loves his brother is characterized by light. Now, what's life? Light. We're talking about purity and right. We're talking about treating others right. It's talking about expressing the character of God. In other words, the one who is abiding in the realm of the light is walking like Jesus. It is, in fact, doing what Jesus did. And it says in our text, and he is no stumbling block. Literally, it means to cause a scandal. You know, someone who loves another believer will not listen to gossip and will not pass it on. He will not speak evil of another believer. Who will not have thoughts of revenge against another believer. Who will not be bitter against another believer. Will not be scandalized. When you truly love someone, in this case another believer, you will seek the best for him. You will sacrifice for him. You will not lead him to do wrong. Someone has written these words. Obedience to the command to love a fellow believer is a valid test for each believer's genuineness. Such obedience provides a distinct contrast to those who are without love and persist in walking in darkness. Believers who manifest the new kind of love, first taught by Jesus and reiterated by John, truly obey the Lord's command in the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. One of the greatest impact you and I can have on a lost and dying world is how we treat one another. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus said, they shall know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. And when we genuinely have a love and compassion for each other, we can truly have an impact on the world. I mean, there are a lot of people that are thinking about, when they think about church, they think about people fighting. They think about hypocrisy. They think about divisions. And they need to see a body of believers truly loving one another. And it is very powerful in its impact. So let me ask you this morning, is there someone who is a Christian that you hate? That when their name comes up, you wish you could stick a knife in them? Or you would wish they would just kind of vanish away off the world? Or maybe God would judge them? What are the indicators of hate? Extreme anger. A critical spirit. Character assassination. An unforgiving spirit. Those are indicators that you and I would be hating somebody. What are the indicators of a love for believers? Seeking the best. Overlooking faults. Sacrifice without expecting the same in return. defending your brother in Christ when others attack him, and forgiving him or her when she offends you. Again, do you love or hate other believers? What's the command? Love one another. Love one another. Really, this is not in theory. By our attitudes and actions, we need to love one another. Please stand.